Today's case is the story of a young girl that walked out of her house over 20 years ago in the middle of the night, and she has not been seen since. It's a case that has haunted a family in a small North Carolina town. I'm your host, Coy Atkins, and this is the story of Asha Dedree. Shelby, North Carolina is a small town in Cleveland County, and not too far from Charlotte, North Carolina. It's only about 21 square miles, with 20,000 residents living there. It seems to be the perfect place to raise a family, which is exactly what Harold and Akilah Dedree thought. Harold and Akilah, they were married on Valentine's Day in 1988. They had their first child, a son named O'Brien, in 1989. And then their daughter Asha was born in 1990. The family focused on church, school, and growing as a family. Harold and Akilah, they did the best that they could to protect their kids from any negative influences, and they raised them in a small subdivision. Around the late 90s to early 2000, news stories flooded the country of young children being lured to places by predators on the internet. So the family, they didn't even have a computer in their home to try and protect their children from that. On Sunday, February 13th, 2000, 9-year-old Asha went to church with her brother and other relatives. That night, she and O'Brien returned home around 8 p.m. Asha and O'Brien shared a bedroom, and shortly after they got home, they went to bed. About an hour later, there was a car crash that knocked the power out in the neighborhood. Around midnight, Harold arrived home from work and he checked on Asha and O'Brien. They were both asleep in their beds, and this is about the same time that the power came back on in the house. Around 2:30 in the morning on February 14th, Harold checked on them again before going to bed himself. Both children were still asleep. Around 5:45 in the morning, Akilah woke up and started getting the kids ready for school. It was a big day for them. Not only was it Valentine's Day, but it was Akilah and Harold's wedding anniversary. Akilah started a bath for the kids and went to go wake them up. O'Brien was asleep in his bed, but Asha wasn't in hers. At first, she thought that maybe Asha was already awakened in another room of the house, but as she made her way through the house checking the other bedrooms, bathroom, living room, and kitchen, she didn't find Asha anywhere. Now, I can only imagine that her heartbeat kept going faster and faster as she made her way through the house, not finding Asha in any room. Akilah woke Harold up, and he thought that maybe she walked over to his mom's house, which was right across the street, so that wouldn't be too out of the norm. They checked there, and when they couldn't find Asha at his mom's house, that's when full panic began to set in. By 6:40 a.m., the first cops arrived on scene. They tried to use canines to track for Asha, but they didn't have any luck picking up a scent. Akilah walked through the neighborhood calling out Asha's name, and by 7, the entire neighborhood was awakened helping look for Asha. And it wouldn't be much longer before family, friends, and members of their church arrived on scene to help with the search for Asha. Investigators went through Asha's room with Akilah. The only thing that they knew for sure at the time was that she didn't have any warm clothes with her. Not only was it winter time, but it had been raining pretty hard as well. By the end of the day, they didn't find anything that would lead to where Asha went. But a local news station covered the disappearance, and this led to the first clues for the investigators. After Harold checked on O'Brien and Asha around 2:30 in the morning, O'Brien was awoken from hearing a squeaking sound coming from Asha's bed. He didn't pay much attention to it because he figured she was just moving in her bed. But now it's believed that this was when Asha got out of bed, grabbed a backpack, and snuck out of the house. After seeing the evening news and talking about Asha's disappearance, two people called the police thinking that they saw her. One was a truck driver and the other was a guy driving a car in the area. Both sightings were on Highway 18, around 3:45 and 4:15 a.m. They saw a girl walking south on Highway 18, which would have been about a mile from the Dedree's house. The guy driving the car said that he thought it was so odd to see such a small, young girl walking out at that time alone. So he turned the car around to check on her, but when he did, she ran into the woods and he lost sight of where she went. On February 15th, investigators found candy wrappers in a shed near where Asha was seen running into the woods. They also found a pencil, marker, and a Mickey Mouse hair bow, which was confirmed that it belonged to Asha. It's believed that Asha used this shed to seek shelter from the rain that morning. On February 16th, Akila noticed that there were a pair of blue jeans with a red stripe missing from Asha's bedroom, which were her favorite pair of pants to wear. Over the next week, searches were done every single day. There were approximately 9,000 man hours put into searching for Asha, and most of the search was focused around a 2 to 3 mile radius from where she was seen by the witnesses. Flyers with Asha's faces on them blanketed the area, and about 300 tips came into police. Some of the tips described seeing her walking around, some were about abandoned houses that she could be hiding in or wells that she may have fallen into, but each tip was investigated and ruled out, and eventually the search was called off. But even though the search was called off, the investigation was far from over. Cleveland County Sheriff Dan Crawford urged the media to keep the story going, so that she would be on people's minds and tips would continue to come in. The sheriff also reached out to the FBI and the North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation, and they joined the case on February 22nd. While no scenario was being ruled out, investigators in this case did not think that she was abducted, at least not at first. Instead, they believed that Asha planned to run away on her own. This theory was based off of the things missing in her room and the two witnesses that saw her walking alone. Also, every door in the DeGree home was locked, and there were no signs of forced entry on any door or window. Now, Asha wasn't the typical runaway kid, though. An expert from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children pointed out that most runaway kids were at least 12 years old. Asha was only 9. An FBI agent on the case also didn't think that there was much of a reason for Asha to run away. Most kids that run away from a home come from a dysfunctional family. They suffer from abuse and neglect, but that didn't seem to be the case in Asha's disappearance. Her parents were good parents. The night before she went missing, before going to bed, she was laughing and talking with her parents. The only time that she was really upset was a few days before she went missing when she lost a basketball game, but that still wasn't a major issue. And O'Brien also did not disclose any abuse from the parents. While investigators didn't think that she was abducted from her house, they did believe that foul play was involved. But the theory was more so that she walked out of the house on her own, and then she was abducted while she was walking. Asha's case was in the national media within a month, including being covered on the Montel Williams Show, The Oprah Winfrey Show, America's Most Wanted, in an attempt to bring attention to Asha's case. On October 3rd, 2001, a construction project was underway off of Highway 18 in Burke County, about 26 miles north of Shelby, North Carolina. During this construction, a worker found a black plastic bag. Inside the black plastic bag was Asha's backpack, which had her name and her phone number on it. Inside the backpack was a book by Dr. Seuss called McElgott's Pool. Maybe pronouncing that wrong. But there was also a shirt for the band New Kids on the Block. Investigators confirmed with the DeGree family that the book and the t-shirt did not belong to Asha. According to a 2018 article with WSOC-TV9, the Dr. Seuss book was traced back to being checked out of the Falston Middle School library in early 2000. Even though the library records did not go back that far to show who checked it out, investigators are confident that it was not Asha. The FBI took all the items to their headquarters to be processed by a forensics team. As of right now, the results of this test have not been made public, so it's unknown if any DNA evidence or anything was obtained. That was back in 2001. As of now, March of 2024, the backpack is the only evidence that has been found in this case. In 2004, an inmate in the Cleveland County Jail gave investigators a tip that Asha may have been buried in Lawndale, North Carolina, which was a smaller town in Cleveland County. The sheriff's office began digging around the area that the inmate described, and they did come across bones, but after further testing, the bones were confirmed to be from an animal. In 2015, the Cleveland County Sheriff's Office FBI North Carolina Bureau of Investigation put together a team of investigators to re-examine Asha's case, according to the FBI's website. Since then, they have investigated over 350 new leads. While a lot of those leads led to dead ends, there was one that may be crucial to the investigation in finding out what happened to Asha. In 2016, the FBI reported that they located a witness who saw a girl that looked similar to Asha the morning that she disappeared. When the witness saw the girl, she was getting into a dark green 1970s model car that was believed to be either a Lincoln Continental Mark IV or a Ford Thunderbird, and the vehicle had rust on the tire rims. There are a few things that stand out about this. For one, where was this witness about 16 years prior? Then, if this tip is true, and Asha was willingly getting into a car, would it be someone that she knew? If she ran away from the one motorist who turned around to check on her on the morning that she went missing, so why is she now getting into this car? In November 2020, a guy named Marcus Mellon was in prison for sex crimes against children. He was sent to prison in 2014. He sent a letter to the Shelby Star claiming that Asha was murdered and he knew where the body was, but in February 2021, the Cleveland County Sheriff announced that they followed up on Marcus's claims and that they were not valid. While this case has baffled investigators, family members, and the small community of Shelby, for over 20 years, Akilah is not giving up hope on finding her daughter. Akilah and Harold believe that Asha could still be alive, and that's very much a possibility. We've seen in recent years, most notably the Ariel Castro case, where sometimes people can be abducted and held for years before they are able to escape or be rescued. While holding on to that hope, Akilah and Harold still live in the same house, and as long as Asha is missing, they will never move, just in case she is able to return home one day. Investigators are still asking for help trying to identify who may have lost, checked out, or misplaced the Dr. Seuss book McGilligan's Pool from the Falston Middle School back in early 2000, and also who may have owned the New Kids on the Block t-shirt in the area of Shelby, North Carolina back then. In 2021, Akilah did an interview with WBTV and said, "We've done everything in our power to find our child and to bring her home. Even though she'd be 30 years old now, she is still our child. She's the 9-year-old little girl that left. This is worse than death, because at least with death, you have closure. You can go to a gravesite or you can have an urn at home. But for us, we can't mourn, we can't give up. The only thing we got is hope." Now, while no one's asking for my personal opinion on this case, I believe that there is a chance that she was lured away from the house. The parents were very concerned about online predators around that time, and it's still a very big issue today. But for her to leave the house with some sort of plan, with packing a bag, that is very unusual for a 9-year-old. Unless she's talking to someone or had some sort of plan. For her to run away to one car but possibly go to another car, and then for her belongings to be found over 20 miles away, buried at a construction site. And I know her parents did not have a computer in the house to try and prevent anything like this from happening. But she does go to school, she had friends, she could have met someone on a school library computer or at a friend's house, or it could have been someone in the community that met in person and maybe not on the internet. There's currently a $45,000 reward for any information that could lead to the arrest and conviction of anyone involved in Asha's disappearance. The FBI is encouraging anyone with any information, no matter how big or small, to speak with them. You can submit a tip on the FBI website. And this is going to bring us to a conclusion of this episode. Thank you for listening to this episode of Crime Nerds. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and even TikTok at Crime Nerds Podcast. Hope you have a great day.